Well, welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined as always by Kent Steinbeck, and we're coming to you from Dallas, Texas. Not just Dallas, Texas, yes, but the heart of Dallas. We are at Herb's House. It's a coffee shop. You need to come join us. And Kent, we've got a great study. We're going to be in the book of Revelation.
Okay.
I know you like the book of Revelation. And we're going to be in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. And the title of our devotion today is The Lord of the Church. And I want to begin by reading verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. So let's just stop right here. This is given to the angel of the church at Ephesus, which is actually the point man among the spiritual leaders there at the church of Ephesus. We would call him the preaching pastor, the preaching elder in the church. And Jesus is the speaker, Kent. And Jesus begins by issuing this letter to the church at Ephesus by identifying himself. And the way that he identifies himself is very important. He identifies himself as the one who is the Lord of the church. And so I want us to look at this. Jesus says, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand. Well, this is a reference to Christ himself. And he holds the seven stars in his right hand. Now, that's a place of authority, a place of control. He holds these seven stars in his right hand. He can place them where he wants them. Because they're in his hand, he can protect them. He can uphold them and sustain them. He can even empower them as he holds them in his hand. And so the question is, who are the seven stars? Well, they were mentioned earlier in chapter 1, verse 16. And I believe that these seven stars are the seven preaching pastors of the church in each of these seven churches that Jesus is addressing in Revelation 2 and 3. And they're represented as stars because they are to shine brightly in a very dark, in a dark world, in a sinful and adulterous generation. They are to shine the light of the Word of God and shine the light of the gospel to those who live in darkness, spiritual darkness. And they are represented as stars in that they only reflect the light. They're not the source of light. They simply reflect the light that comes from the sun. Well, I think we see why Jesus chose this imagery, because the pastor who preaches the Word of God, he's not the source of truth. He's not the source of the gospel. He simply is to refract and to reflect the light that is contained in the Word of God itself. In Psalm 119, verse 105, the psalmist says that the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so as you stand to preach or to teach the Word of God, you're to be like a star or someone holding a lamp that shines the light so that others can see the way to go. So Jesus holds in a very unique and personal and really intimate way these servants who minister the Word of God. There are seven of them because he's addressing seven churches. And then it says, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. What an incredible image this is. Jesus is here pictured as walking in the midst of his churches. The seven golden lampstands represent the seven churches to which Jesus is writing. And every church is to be like a lampstand. Again, the light does not originate with them. They simply hold forth the light. That's the purpose of a lampstand. You put a lamp on top of a lampstand. And so as Jesus addresses this church at Ephesus, as well as the others, he's reminding them that their role is simply to be a lampstand. to hold forth the truth. And Jesus is walking in the midst of these lampstands, examining them and auditing them and seeing if they are fulfilling their God-assigned purpose. I mean, can't you and I serve in the same church together? And I'm privileged to preach the word there. And so my role is simply to be a star to shine the light of the Word of God into the lives of people and whoever stands there. And for all of us together, our church is just to be a lampstand. We are to hold forth the lamp. So Christ is the light of the world. And he is the one who is the light who has come shining into this world. So, Kent, this is our passage for this morning. And I think it's a healthy reminder, really, what God requires of me and what God requires of every pastor, but also every church. And, of course, this would extend to elders and those who teach the Word of God. But what's really gets my attention is that Jesus is shown here as walking in the midst of these golden lampstands, walking up and down the aisles of the church and examining, is this taking place? So I need to stop talking, Kent, and let you interact with me a little bit on this.
Well, I was listening as you were teaching, and I was thinking about what our listening audience would be thinking and maybe question. So, well, I'm not a preacher or I'm not an elder, and they're supposed to be, you know, lampstands and stars, but what about me? And I guess the question is, do you think that our listening audience, just the common person in the pew, like me or the viewers, would be also needing to be stars or that shine forth what the Lord says in their own life and also as lampstands? Is that drawn too much out of the text?
No, that would be a great application of this text. Certainly the interpretation and what Jesus is saying is addressed to those who hold the word before the congregation. However, this does apply to every Christian because in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said that we are to be the light of the world. And so every believer is to shine the light of the Word of God into their family, into their place of business, as they meet and interact with people. We all are to be that. And in Matthew 5, I think it'd probably be worth it for me to read this very quickly because you've touched on a very good point, Kent. And Jesus said to the disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house." That's addressed to each and every disciple who is following after Christ, everyone who's poor in spirit and mourns and is meek and hungers and thirsts for righteousness. He's addressing those who find the reality of the Beatitudes in their own lives. So, Kent, yes, absolutely. So that also brings up the issue that every Christian needs to know the Word of God. I mean, you can't shine forth what you don't know. And you must be a student of Scripture and know sound doctrine, so that as God gives you opportunity to either counsel someone or disciple them or share the gospel with them or at times even correct them, you must know the Scripture in order to speak what is truth.
You know, it's interesting. I think of a couple of things. If we're to be reflectors,
yeah,
then we've got to be in the light as
yeah
we turn. And as Moses, you remember, came down the mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
And his face shone.
Yeah.
And
with the glory of God.
Of the glory of God, because he had been with the Lord.
Amen.
And the people were terrified.
Yeah.
To veil his face.
Yeah.
That's somewhat of an example. And I think of another thought here.
Yeah.
I got a video someone sent me to watch this preacher preach earlier this week. And the idea was, what do you think? And when I came away from it, and this guy was preaching the Bible, but when I came away from it, it was reflecting him more than it was the Word.
Yeah,
and
great point.
Such a subtle thing.
Great point.
That I was like, well, he's talking about the Word, but the bigger part is this guy.
Yeah.
It was the way the words he used, the attention he brought to himself.
The illustrations.
The illustrations. And I thought, wow, is that not a place where we need to look? And when we check in to the people we listen to,
yeah,
what do we want to be looking for?
Yeah, that is a great point, Kent. And another point, just to follow up on that, the gospel is not our testimony. Our testimony is simply how we've come to believe the gospel. And so when we witness to others, it's really not about me and talking about me so much as it is talking about Christ and what Christ has done for us. So we can give our testimony. I mean, Paul did with Agrippa, etc. But that's only the road to get to the destination. The destination is Christ, to always be speaking of Him who is the light of the world. Kent, that is a great illustration that you just gave. And I think we all need to be mindful of this, that as we interact with people and talk to them and give our testimony or talk to them about the Christian life, we need to be always pointing people to Christ, not ourselves, but to Christ.
Even for me, you know, we get up in the morning and we shower or we bathe and we brush our teeth. We do all these things. It's all about us, right?
But yeah.
In reality, it's not, is it?
Yeah.
We're just reflecting. I mean, I'm thinking through my own brain.
Yeah.
I need to walk out in the world and be more of a reflection and not be about me.
Yeah, yeah. I think of John 3, verse 30. John the Baptist said, "He must increase,
awesome.
I must decrease." And so I think that's a great way for us to wrap up this session, Kent. For me personally, and as well for all of us, there needs to be more of Jesus coming out of my mouth, more of Jesus shining forth from my life, and really less of me, more of Christ, and not to hide Him under a bushel, but to put Him on a lampstand and let Him shine forth from our lives. Well, you've been watching Steadfast Hope with us. A lot of practical things we've talked about here based upon the truth of Scripture. And I trust that today you will be like a lampstand to shine forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Please tune in for our very next episode of Steadfast Hope.